From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Songwriters on Songwriters, the ongoing series from Juno Afternoon featuring conversations between musicians about the creation of music and an artist's career. My name is Spencer Edgars, and I'm a composer, arranger, and multi-instrumentalist based here on Klingerani. On today's Songwriters on Songwriters, our featured artist is Taylor Dallas Vidic. We discuss Taylor's debut album, Cat and Mouse, its creation, and our unique collaboration as I had the honor to fully orchestrate the jazz forward cat half of the album. It's Songwriters on Songwriters coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. You are listening to Songwriters on Songwriters, the ongoing series from Juno Afternoon here on community-supported KTOO. I'm Spencer Edgars, and that was Trash Birds, the first single off of Taylor Dallas Vidic's debut album, Cat and Mouse. Taylor's album is a two-part musical experience. The cat half features Taylor's jazz-forward originals, which I had the honor to collaborate with Taylor on and orchestrate. Such a pleasure to do that. The other half of the record, the Mouse half, features folk rock cuts and has a distinct but also complimentary sound. You can find her music on all the streaming services, and more about Taylor is available at taylorvidic.com. I am pleased to welcome now to the studio Taylor Dallas Vidic.
Oh, hello, Spencer.
Hello, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm so good. This is very fun because now we're sitting at two microphones when this weekend we were sitting on two chairs in your living room.
Yes.
So it's fun to relocate to a slightly more electronic setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is, I think, it sounds like this is a very unique Songwriters on Songwriters session because we collaborated on this project.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And you, my friend, are actually pretty much the reason that I live here now. Taylor and I met working at a tour boat company in Seattle, where we would cruise around Puget Sound and look at things and tell people about things. And that was the beginning of our friendship and the beginning of our...
And sweep up popcorn.
Lots of popcorn.
Can't forget sweeping up the popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-pandemic 2018.
And that was when we started collaborating, and I played saxophone in your band, and that has that was the beginning of what I think is a lifelong friendship. And
yes.
I'm so grateful to be here. And then, you know, I started visiting Juno and playing music here, and that's what eventually brought me to live here. So yeah. Questions for you. Gosh, I think I was like thinking about this, and I was like, there's so many questions I have for Taylor that I just like have never found the right time to ask. And it's usually about the songs. It's like, what is this song about? But I think maybe for the listeners, and for myself as well, I think it would be cool to hear about like sort of your origin story with music and like where you got started with all of that. Like, how long have you been a musician, would you say?
Yeah. How long have I been doing the thing? I was in my second grade talent show. I have no idea why. And I continued to do the talent shows. And then I sang the national anthem more times than makes sense. And shout out to Mary DeSmet, who was my piano teacher and encouraged my parents to buy me my first guitar. And just knowing that I wanted to keep playing for people. And that's a lot easier when you are playing a guitar. And then once you are writing your own music. And it became a way to process feelings as is the case for so many songwriters. And since then, it has continued to come from a place of wanting to be in community with people and wanting to create experiences and wanting to tell stories. And I'm so glad that I grew up in a way that I was encouraged to develop a skill set that now allows me to do that.
Guitar was your first instrument.
Well, piano, and then guitar is where it really started to kind of launch. I didn't start writing songs until I had a guitar in my hands.
I love what you said about community, and I think that is such an important just cultural part of music, and it really feels real where we are. And speaking of community, you know, a whole community of people worked on this debut
album
of yours.
So many people, which I didn't fully realize was going to be the case, but also doesn't surprise me because I often like to grow the grouping that I am making art with. So yeah, it was really fun to get to reach out to folks and to reach out to folks from that I've been working with for years in different settings. And because I was lucky enough to have this incredible budget to work with, both through Erasmus and Grant and the Kickstarter that I did last year, I was able to purchase plane tickets for people and house us and, you know, still not pay people what I want to pay them, but be able to attempt to compensate all of these insanely talented artists in my life. Yeah.
Do we have a final count of how many people were involved?
Gosh,
in this project?
I keep saying the word 20.
That sounds right.
That sounds about right to me. Well, and then it's like, how far out do you want the circle to go, right? Because someone in Denmark mastered the record because someone in
Anchorage. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, surprise. I reached out to someone in Anchorage and they said, I would love to do this, but having listened to it, I would like to send this to someone who has mastered records similar to this in a way that I have not. So today I paid an invoice to Denmark and my credit card was like, are you sure? Is this real? Do you want to be sending money this far away? And I said, yes, please. So shout out to Holger if you ever get to listen to this interview.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, Christine Carpenter is helping me with the graphics for the record. So it's not just the instrumentalists and people like Derek Hawkes who engineered and mixed. He engineered the cat half of the record and mixed the entire stinking thing. There are people pushing dials around and pixels around and
yeah,
it's just like such a stinking team.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. I think, you know, maybe a lot of people don't realize how many or, you know, just the amount of people that can come together to make something like this, the amount of effort it takes in the age of streaming where, you know, almost anyone can upload their songs to the internet and it will live there.
And you can do it all by yourself in your bedroom.
Or you can have AI do it. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Please don't. Or you can, yeah, work with 20 plus people to make it happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm so much more interested in getting to work with people, which is why I was so excited to basically hand you my songs as melodies and say, please go for it, Spencer. I trust you. And some of the songs came back sounding so different from what I anticipated. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time that you sent me the MIDI version. Is that an appropriate description of it?
Yeah.
So like the...
It's like the electronic instruments. It's a mock-up per se. So it's like computer instruments sort of giving you a demo of like what the actual real instruments are going to sound like when you record it.
Yeah. And I remember that you were nervous to send it to me. I was nervous to listen to it.
Because MIDI is never as good as the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And what if it, you know, wasn't the picture that I had in my head? And I don't even remember what song it was, but there was one song that wasn't the picture I had in my head. But once I listened through the mock-up that you sent me a couple of times, I realized, oh, no, this is different, but it is still just as cool, if not cooler. And I am so committed to, in this process, leaving space for the other very talented people in my life to get to add their handprint to this project.
Mm-hmm.
Because my melodies and my voice are such a small piece of the project as a whole.
So this cat half of the album, you know, is very influenced by jazz. And there are several tracks that are definitely just straight up jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, what is your background with jazz, and how did that become a thing for you?
Yeah, Missouri Smythe, who was the director of the Alaska Youth Choir, at some point felt that she should give my name to Tom Loker. And he used to do a Jazz Divas program. And gosh, I must have been in my early 20s at that point. And I got to start learning about jazz music with his help and with his song suggestions, and eventually built up a sizable repertoire of jazz. And I did not grow up on jazz. My parents aren't particularly, I won't call them big jazz fans. But getting to build this repertoire and also spend time producing that style with my voice, it felt so good because it sits in this lower, rich, warm register, and there's a lot of emotion involved. And something that I love about performing is that it gives me access to parts of my emotional spectrum that don't always come quite as easily, which has been such a gift with this record and with getting to sing over top of your arrangements and the arrangements of the mouse half as well, adding this full-bodied sound and getting to add my voice as an instrument with that sound has been so, so cool. And I got a lot of that from learning the jazz catalog with the help of Mr. Loker. And then I've just continued to self-produce jazz events and shows in Juneau, because Juneau's a big yes and community, thank goodness. And with time, many of my more recent songs on the record, more recently written songs, are on the cat half, because I have been leaning that direction, and my guitar playing has advanced in such a way that I'm learning new chords, and I'm putting sevenths into a chord.
Oh, yes.
I know, we're getting fancy.
For all the music theory fans out there.
Yes. Which has just allowed me to write something that is more jazz adjacent. Yeah.
I think it's really special that you and I get to play that style of music, because much like we are guests on this land,
yes. We
are also very much guests in the house of that music.
Yes, we are two white people
who
get to perform jazz, and that is... that is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's probably a good segue into listening to another track from the album. The song High,
mm-hmm.
you usually play as kind of a ballad, right?
It's just a classic TDV ballad, yeah.
Yeah.
But that is not what it is on this record. And I am so excited for people to hear it. Because, where it started and where you took it. Where we took it is, it's the song has transformed like a Pokemon or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good metaphor.
Yeah.
It evolved.
It evolved.
Yeah, because I don't know exactly how we ended up there, but I was kind of like, hey, what if we what if we just totally went in a different direction with this? And what if this was like kind of a more up-tempo swing rendition of this song? Is that how you remember it?
Yes.
Okay.
And now I've been calling it the jazz bop. And every time, you know, I've had plenty of reasons to be listening back through these tracks. And every time this one comes on, I just get so pumped.
Nice.
And like a smile comes to my face. I can be all by myself. I'm like, this is so fun and energetic. And I'm so glad that we, got weird with it.
So I remember, when we were talking about that, you sent me a voice memo that was kind of like demoing it and trying it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have that. We might be able to listen to that as a little behind the scenes moment.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Walking through windows, wondering where you'll pass by. Hoping you'll be looking through and I might can catch your eye. It's been 1,000 feet. Say goodbye, I don't miss a look. I can't find that I miss your high.
I think that was a test to see if I could say the words fast enough.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely something you got to think about is like, can we get the words in there? But it worked out.
It worked. It worked.
So perhaps we can listen to the final evolved form of that song.
Yes, please.
Watching through windows, wondering when you'll pass by. Hoping you'll be looking through and I might again catch your eye. It's been 3 weeks now since we said goodbye. I don't miss the lows, but I can't find that high. I can't find that high. Can't find that high. I miss your high. What if I told you that you're still in my dreams, that I can't help but think about you even when I'm trying to sleep. It's been 2 months now since we said goodbye. I don't miss the lows, but I can't find that high. I can't find that high. Can't find that high. I miss your high. Since we said goodbye, I don't miss the lows, but I can't find that high. I can't find that high. Can't find that high. I miss your high. High. Can't find that high. I miss your
You are listening to Songwriters on Songwriters, the ongoing series from Juno Afternoon. I'm Spencer Edgars, and I'm with featured songwriter Taylor Dallas Vidic, talking about her debut album, Cat and Mouse. And we just heard the new arrangement of High for this album. And I was kind of blown away, I'll be honest, because I didn't know that you overdubbed harmonies on it. And
it's crazy.
It's awesome.
I'm so glad that's your response, because as you were like, wow, I was like, what does Spencer think of them? Have I botched his creation?
No, it's very cool. It's very cool. Yeah, so that's a great example of the jazz nature of the cat half of this album. So, yeah, we were kind of talking about, we were talking about a lot of stuff. We were talking about collaboration.
Can we talk about the sax solo on
that? Oh, yeah, that was me playing saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really fun to, you know, moving to Juno, I didn't know how much opportunity I would have to make music. And it turns out I kind of have more.
Yeah.
So grateful to be part of the project and... The whole cat half of the album I arranged and played saxophone on as well. So, yeah. Do you have any questions for me?
Absolutely. I was going to take this opportunity to, I don't know, kind of in the same way that you asked me how I got my start into, or what the genesis of my musical story is, which I think is a story that many KTO listeners have heard some version of at this point. But you are newer to Juno, and you do have this variety of musical talents, be it playing saxophone or arranging. And not only have you arranged, you know, half of this album, but you've arranged things for the Juno Symphony. You got to do a piece with, well, you did Cat and Mouse with me in 2023, and then you also did a piece with Annie Bartholomew. I would love to ask that question back. Yeah, how did you get to this point in your career?
Yeah, my first instrument was also piano. I started when I was 4 years old. And we always had jazz in the house growing up. And then I was lucky enough that my parents didn't think it was crazy that I wanted to go to college for music. And they were very supportive of that. And so I ended up shipping off to Philadelphia, where I went to Temple University. And I was in the jazz program there. I studied with Dick Oates, Tim Warfield, Ben Schachter, a bunch of amazing East Coast saxophone players, and got to, you know, Philly's like a 2-hour drive from Manhattan. So the whole thing was like, you know, we would hop on the bus and go to hear a show at a New York jazz club and come back on the bus the same night.
that was
the whole thing. But yeah, I got to spend 5 years in Philly and really like be steeped in stuff there and learn a lot and be in the culture there. And then I ended up coming back to, I'm from Seattle originally, so I ended up coming back to Seattle, and that's where I met you.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then I was really into like film music and video game music. And so I ended up doing a fast track master's degree in film scoring at the Seattle Film Institute. And so that's really where I learned, to orchestrate. And then, like, you know, learning jazz and, like, learning how to improvise, that's all basically, like, spontaneous composition, spontaneous writing. And so it's almost like I had a lot of reps doing that already. It was just, like, refining it and learning how to, like, write for other instruments that I don't play. Film music school is how I learned to orchestrate. And it used to be, you know, like, string instruments were so foreign to me because I don't play them. And they still kind of are, but I'm at the point, you know, now where, you know, we can be making something with it.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful that you and I get to collaborate in this way, and that you're always like, hey, Spence, you wanna write something? I'm like, yeah.
Yes, please. It's so nuts because I have heard all of that, you know, quote unquote resume in pieces before, but to hear you string it all together into one little storyline makes me feel so grateful that you have decided that Juno is where you want to be right now, because the education that you have had access to because you were not in Alaska is so great and so vast. Like, I didn't go to a New York City jazz club until my late 20s. So the fact that, you know, you got to witness that scene from such a young age and then expanded your knowledge with the stinking masters, like, get out of my house right now.
I got debt. Let's be clear.
He got debt. Okay, that's
But it's
fair.
Worth it.
And
I
that's
guess.
Why we need this record to go multi-platinum so that we can all retire, pay off our debt, maybe own a home one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just how lucky are we to get to call you a Junoite for
thanks.
As long as we get to. Yeah.
Thanks. So speaking of like that, you know, making a story out of this trajectory and all of that. I had someone was asking me the other day, like, oh, is this Taylor's first album? Like, really? Like, and I was like, yeah. And then they were like, but does she have any other songs out? And I was like, no, I don't think so. She's got some videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is your first time actually releasing music. Is that right?
Yeah. I have a secret couple of songs somewhere on a website somewhere that are super
MySpace?
Demos. Not quite as far back as MySpace, but something with a cloud in it. But yeah, it was so wonderful. The first single, Trash Birds, came out. And there's this funny thing when you use the first time you distribute your music, places like iTunes and, you know, streaming platforms don't show you on their platform until the day the song comes out. So at 10 p.m. the day before Trash Birds was supposed to come out, I looked for myself on streaming platforms and found myself. Mm-hmm. And that was thrilling. And nice. Yeah, about damn time, because I've been talking about doing this for so stinking long. But you don't make art in a vacuum. You make it while also living your life, and life is a lot. So
isn't that the truth?
Yeah, really good to get this stamp on the timeline of my life, as it's not complete by any means. But yes, now I do have recorded music on the internet.
Yeah,
that I'm proud to share.
That just made me think of when we met in Seattle. And I started playing music with you, and we would rehearse in the basement of the house that you were living in.
In Wallingford. It's now a condo building, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
It got torn down?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think back on that time very fondly. Mm-hmm. A big reason that is just because that was in a time in my life where I was, like, you know, I just moved back to Seattle, and I was kind of, like, feeling things out, and playing music with you really made me feel like I was, like, a musician, and that I was doing stuff, and I was, you know, being a professional and actually doing what I said I was going to do. Mm-hmm. So grateful for that. And so I wonder if when you think back on that time, compared to, like, where we are now, what feels different, and what were you looking forward to at that time that maybe looks different now?
Yeah. Well, first, shout out to Cody Russell and Marshall Bovey.
Yes.
Who were in that.
The boys.
And Marshall is on this record. And just shout out to those two for being in that garage with us. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest difference? Well, first, it's fun to remember that some of these songs were written a decade ago, right? So you and I have been playing Trash Birds together since 2018.
That's right.
Which is the year I wrote the song, the first week that I moved to Seattle.
Oh, wow.
I realized while we were talking earlier in this conversation. So it's like, oh, life is so fun and weird. I think the biggest difference is that, I don't know, maybe I'm starting to believe that I'm a musician now.
You better believe it.
Thank you. It's interesting to hear you say that playing with us in that garage made you feel like you were doing the thing, because having you in the garage made me feel like I was doing the thing.
Mm.
And I don't think that's abnormal amongst musicians. Mm-hmm. And so getting to fight our imposter syndrome alongside one another and be tools for each other to fight that syndrome is powerful.
Yeah.
And having the community support for this project, both in the fundraising for it and now, you know, as the singles roll out, and just receiving the gift of people listening. And our friend Joe from Ketchikan commented somewhere on social media that Trash Birds became the theme song of his trip to Hawaii. And what a gift is that, to know that I didn't get to go on that vacation, but
But you were there.
But I was there. And he will, now he has these really sweet memories, and I get to be a part of that memory. That is so cool and also fascinating. And I don't know where this thought is going to go, but I'm going to start it. I've been spending time with elders with Alzheimer's, and noticing the ways that songs and music stick in people's brains. And I was singing a Christmas carol with a gentleman over the holiday season, and I had never seen him utter a word. And then I started singing Silver Bells, and he was suddenly singing along with me. Mm. And so just to think that, like, my songs probably aren't going to go down in the books of the classics, right? But they are going to be these little moments in people's lives. And now that I have this physical recording, just means, like, oh, no, you did it. You don't have to feel like you're – I feel slightly less impostery. Because I have some tangible evidence now that I did the thing.
Yeah. One thing I've been pondering a lot lately is, like, what does success look like?
Mm-hmm.
Forget about what it looks like for other people. Like, what does it look like for you?
every day that I get to experience joy with people that I care about feels like success. Mm. And I'm already thinking a bit about what happens once the album is out and or once I'm, you know, once the project is complete, what becomes my new story for myself or that I am sharing with other people. And so remembering to enjoy the journey on the way to the destination, because like the journey is the destination, really.
Mm. Yeah, I've been trying to remind myself of that a lot because I'm...
It's like, hard in the slog.
I get a little stressed about being really busy, but then I'm like, you know what? I'm living a full life.
Yeah.
So isn't that great?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that we're just talking life philosophy more than we are about it. So how do you write your songs? But that's how you write songs. I don't know. Or why you feel inspired to make music.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's life. Music is life. Music don't forget that. Life.
Let's make a sticker that says that.
Yeah, and I love to think about this thing that, like, you know, music is this crazy organization of wiggly air.
Mm-hmm.
That I believe, like you were talking about with folks who experience Alzheimer's and dementia, like this is stuff that I definitely believe can change brain chemistry.
Yes.
If not just for a short time while you're listening to it.
Yeah.
And what a gift that we get to create that and put that out there.
Yeah.
Should we listen to another track?
But can we change the vibe?
Yeah.
Can we get kind of dark and weird?
Okay.
I was thinking we could listen to Wet Tennis Shoes.
Mm-hmm. Great title.
Thank you so much. Just because, you know, us here in Southeast Alaska, people get it.
I think we can all relate to that that title.
Yeah.
We've all experienced that probably at one point or another.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is another really good example of, I wrote a song with a simple guitar arpeggio. And then Spencer created this.
All right. We'll take a listen now to Wet Tennis Shoes. This is Songwriters on Songwriters on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Thank you.
From Studio 2K at K2O, this is Songwriters on Songwriters from Juno Afternoon. That was Wet Tennis Shoes from Taylor Dallas Vidic's debut album, Cat and Mouse.
I'm wiping stanky face off of my face right now because so many of our friends just ripped so many cool like solos and did so many cool things on their instruments. That was Ed Littlefield on the percussion, just ripping at the end, and Chaz Gist on the upright bass, and Alex Kruver from Anchorage. Just nuts.
Yeah, that might be my favorite track on the album.
Okay,
I think.
Yeah. All right, hot
you've
take.
You've been calling it, you have a nickname for that
I
track,
do.
Right?
I've been calling that our James Bond theme song.
Yeah. I think that's certainly...
So if anyone with a lot of power is listening and thinks that, you know, fits, if that's the vibe, you know, it's because of those insane horn parts that you wrote, Spencer. How did you go? I said this before the break, but I just sent you my melody over a little, you know, guitar arpeggio, just a little scale back and forth. And then you heard that, and that was a whole universe. How do you do that?
So, yeah, we started with that arpeggio, right? The and that arpeggio lived on into this arrangement.
Yeah.
So you'll hear Mick playing that, and that's sort of the, you know, the boom, 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 bing, boom, 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 bing. And so when I was first thinking about how to arrange that, it's kind of in three, like waltzy, kind of 3-4-6-8. And so what sort of came to mind to me was it almost reminded me a little bit of House of the Rising Sun, which is also in a similar time signature. And so I was like, oh, like we could rock out on this one a little bit.
Fun.
And so yeah, it kind of went from there. And then thinking of like sort of the direction to give Ed on the drums was one of my favorite drummers of all time is Elvin Jones. And I think I sent you a clip of Elvin Jones playing this sort of like 6-8 feel. And I was like, oh, what if we like transition into that and like do that sort of thing? And that's that middle section with all the horn lines. And you're like, yeah, yeah. And so I think on the chart that the sheet music that I gave Ed, it just says, a lot of it just says, it just says Elvin Jones.
You'll understand. You speak this language, Ed. Just Elvin Jones.
Yeah. So like for the rhythm section players, which is like, you know, the drums, bass, guitar and keyboard, the sheet music that they got was really kind of just like chord charts with maybe some rhythms here and there. And so they were able to take some liberties with it. And I think that really comes through on this track, and just amazing musicians. And yeah, man, so much fun.
Good job when you were writing these scores, knowing where to leave space for the people that you knew would be interpreting what was happening on the sheets. Nailed it.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's something too, like to be able to know that the people you're writing for are going to be able to make something their own and bring their skills to the table like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Super cool.
I wrote that song in the dish pit of Paradise Bakery and Cafe.
Wow.
The Valley location, all of which precludes your time in Juno. So it is very fun. And it was a super rainy day. And shout out to Joan Deering and that funny little building that now has the grind in it, one of the Grind Valley locations. It had a bay window in the dish pit. And it was dumping rain. And so I was picturing, well, obviously that rain was coming down, and there's a lot of imagery of Rotary Park in my head with this song.
Okay.
Which, have you ever been to Rotary Park, Spencer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, great, cool. You did live in the Valley for a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up really close to Rotary Park.
Yeah.
A lot of my songs have some autobiographical component, and this is more of a story song. I think my time spent in musical theater pops into this one a bit with the drama and the storytelling and the storyline, I suppose. But yeah, shout out to Rotary Park, my neighborhood park, for helping provide location for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Written at a time that I did not know anyone who recorded on this record, which is so cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Or anyone that recorded on this track in the least, yeah.
So what year did you write it?
oh, when did I think I was 20 or 21 okay. when I worked at Paradise.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. So this is another decade plus moment.
Mm-hmm. This album has been a long time coming.
Oh my gosh, Spencer. Yes. Yeah. So long.
Mm-hmm.
Chapel Roan, though, recently said her album took a long time. And people have been bothering her, like, well, when are you going to come out with another album for us? And she said, do you know how long this first one took me?
Yeah. It's like, do you want the fast thing or the really awesome caring-filled thing?
Yeah, and like when all the pieces fall in place and someone has capacity to make what they need to make.
So the whole album is called Cat and Mouse.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could tell everyone why it's called that.
Yeah. Shout out to Juno, who has allowed me to perform many a genre while living here, and also Skagway too, where I spent a lot of my 20s. Just the big yes and. It continues to come back around and be a part of the story. So the record is called Cat and Mouse because since it took me a while to make this happen, I did not feel like settling on one genre or one band. And so I split the thing down the middle, and we've got the cat half, which you did most of the arranging for, and then we've got the mouse half, which I recorded down in Seattle with a fully separate band. I was the only carryover. Myself, and I will say, and Derek Caucus did mix the whole thing, which ended up being really excellent because he was able to keep that first half in mind. I say first half because it's the first on the record, and we did record it a couple months prior to when I recorded the mouse half.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at my grouping of songs that I wanted to include on the record, and there ended up being this pretty clear division between the two halves. Though I do think, was Twice a Day a song that when you and I were having conversations about what songs you should arrange, I know that that was one that...
It was in the mix.
Yeah.
And I think we eventually... That was one that I also was thinking would have been fun as an up-tempo swing.
Yeah.
But we ended up deciding to put that on the mouse half.
Yeah. So maybe one day the world will get to hear the jazzier version. But so the mouse half is, I keep calling it, it's more folk. It ended up having some rock elements in it, which I did not anticipate. But again, went into the recording studio with a lot of space for ideas, and excited to work with that grouping of musicians that included Josh Fortenberry, another member of the Muskeg Collective, Marshall Bovey, who we mentioned earlier, who I lived with in Seattle, and Sam Roberts, who is another bass player from Juno. Alex Nelson got some tracks down on that, and then even Liz Snyder and Paige Sparks provided some backing vocals along the way for the mouse half. So didn't know what it was going to sound like until it happened, despite my best efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I've been learning a lot about my own arranging, I suppose, and listening to music differently and trying to pick up on, like, why do I like this song? Because it is so much more than a melody. Mm-hmm. It is the instrumentation. It is the mixing. It is, how the vocalist is singing into the microphone. There's just so much that goes into writing a song beyond the words and the melody.
And, perhaps a traditional way that bands have made albums is that they just go into the studio and they write music and they do it all kind of off the cuff, and maybe they spend a week in the studio, and by the time they're done, they have a record. Maybe it looks a little different when you're trying to get a bunch of people from all over the place, and everyone has their own lives. And we had a lot of stuff that I arranged that was pre-done, and then I think this one track, Cat and Mouse, was one that we did off the cuff in the studio. And that was really cool to actually have time to do that, because we had a very tight schedule.
And we weren't sure we were going to have time.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that we ended up, because now the title track of the record, Cat and Mouse, has been recorded twice, in fact. So it is represented on both halves of the album. It was played by both bands. And it is also very fun for me that both versions were made off the cuff, I suppose, and based on who was in the room and what everybody was feeling. And so yeah, I'm really excited for people to get to hear this one song performed in two very different ways.
Well, I think we can listen to the first arrangement of Cat and Mouse, the cat arrangement.
Yes. And then maybe we'll give them a little taste of the mouse version too.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I love it.
We'll take a listen now to Cat and Mouse, the title track from Taylor's debut album. This is Songwriters on Songwriters here on Juno Afternoon from K2O.
He speaks slow, knows where each word's bound to go. He walks in a steady line, moves the way he's moved 100 times before, simply practiced before he knew that he'd be mine. Whisper me words that I don't know I need to hear. No, I don't need them, but I want them. Show me the signs that I don't know I need to see. No, I don't need them, but I want.
We're back with Songwriters on Songwriters from Juno Afternoon at K2O. We just heard two different versions of Cat and Mouse, the title track from Taylor Dallas Vidic's debut album. That was really interesting to hear them side by side like that.
Yeah, and you had never heard one of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting for me too. Fun.
Yeah.
Strange. Cool.
And I purposefully, because I wasn't really involved in the other half of the album, yeah. I've been kind of saving listening to that.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting to hear, you know, same song, two different vibes, and that really kind of showcases the two halves of the album.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and hopefully shows the power of how much room there is to change things when you just start with, yeah, that melody line.
Yeah.
And yeah. I will say the mouse half... or the mouse version of Cat and Mouse is not what I expected us to record, but it was the last thing that we did, and mm-hmm. we decided in the studio it would be the last track on the record, and so we leaned into this, like, oh, like you made it through the journey of this album that has a lot of sounds on it, and so what's a way to kind of gracefully exit and you know, take a breath within the song. It's so fun that neither of those versions are what I thought Cat and Mouse was going to be when it finally made it on a record.
Yeah.
But that has been the fun, right? That's been a part of this journey of creating this thing.
Definitely. And it's two different halves of the album, two different bands. The first half was recorded at Frostline Studios in Anchorage. Amazing crew up there.
Yeah.
And then the second half was recorded at
Sage Arts, which is a studio outside of Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah, but still with Alaskan musicians, except for I included one Seattle musician, Tyler, who lived in that house that we referred to earlier.
Oh, Tyler.
Yeah, I brought Tyler in for a couple hours one day.
And, oh, my gosh.
But other than that, all Alaskans.
What's been your, like, favorite part of this process? I know that's a hard question.
Wow, yeah. What has been my favorite part? I don't know if it's been my favorite part, but just the biggest part is learning all of the pieces and the steps within the process and kind of getting my feet underneath me and relinquishing some of that imposter syndrome and doing the things that allow me to feel like I am a musician who has recorded a record, and I can say that with my full body now. Mm. Gosh, but what has been the most fun?
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's a big deal. What's been the most fun? I'm so excited to get to play these songs with the band, to bring everybody back together for the album release shows, mm-hmm. and to probably do them live for the one time that we're ever going to get to do them true to form, because I decided to invite 20 different people to record on the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked to get to really flesh that out and to see everybody again, mm-hmm. like a little family reunion, you know? We got people flying in from 5 different locations. What a gift. What a dream.
Well, yeah, it's truly a special thing that all of these people have come together to create this amazing piece of Taylor history.
Mm.
And I feel so grateful to be a part of it. We really hope you enjoy this album that we collaborated on.
Yeah.
So that wraps up Songwriters on Songwriters with Taylor Dallas Vidic. I'm Spencer Edgars. Find Taylor online at taylorvidic.com. You can find me online at skre.live. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. Boston Christopher is the producer. Gonschich for listening. And we're going to head on out here today listening to the second single off the album. And I haven't heard this yet, so I'm really excited to hear it. It's called Muse.
Thanks for hanging out, Spence.
Oh, yeah.
If one night is all I can, I'll sip it slow. Let the flavor linger. Turn this studio, drinking. I'm not alone, and I'm not
Gwyneth Cheese for listening to this episode of Songwriters on Songwriters, featuring Taylor Dallas Vidic being interviewed by composer and collaborator Spencer Edgars about her debut album Cat and Mouse, available everywhere on April 24th, 2026. More details at taylorvidic.com. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok-Bay 91.7. For more episodes of Juno Afternoon and Songwriters on Songwriters, visit kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Programming support comes from listeners like you and Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. Juno Afternoon is a production of the KTOO Arts and Culture Team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host. Gwyneth Cheese!